one-on-one basis, and an evolving reading list, because typically on any curriculum, we've given a reading list, it's quite solid, and it hasn't been updated for 10 years, particularly within high school. So the evolving reading list was built into it was on Delicious, it was just a tag. I asked a bunch of art critics and curators, and people from a broader spectrum to add bookmarks on topics that they thought were useful for young people graduating into this. The focus of bringing individuals into the institution to speak about what they were doing was I was looking to bring people in that come from a position where their primary set of values was not necessarily a direct career path, but they had their own line of inquiry, so they wouldn't gauge their success in monetary terms. And that was particularly like the underlying ethos of the project. And rather than coming in and speaking about this was my success and sharing that with people, as is the typical case within universities when you have lectures, they actually came in and spoke about the informal process over a 10-year period of how they got from A to B, kind of similar to like what Edgewriters is doing. In lots of respects, it's almost like a kind of mini offline Edgewriters. So offer some context as to why at the age of 25 it's in any way appropriate for me to teach a professional development program. When I graduated in 2008, the big 2008, I was guaranteed a job at a major broadcaster. And I've been doing that job throughout my time at university. But suddenly, as a result of Lehman Brothers, etc., they laid off lots of people, and that guaranteed job evaporated. I won't go into the details, but in that time, I also managed to mute my credit record, my credit rating, and that left me with no bank account. For 2 months, I was pretty desolate, but had like friends, family support, and then some friends I had been running projects with previously squatted a major town, a big townhouse in Mayfair, which led to us running a series of free schools, and did that in a couple of cycles. It's important for me to say I never expected doing that stuff and spending the last 5 years doing projects about money to get to a point where it was useful to teach people. I didn't have some like crystal ball and knew that we were going to be in a kind of state crisis where people weren't able to get jobs, but it just turned out that the stuff that I learned during that period was super useful to people, and I was connected to a network of other people who knew bits and bobs and pulled it together and might be able to help a little bit. So the program has like a particular focus on work without money, and the reason for that is because the projects that I've been involved in that have the greatest degree of vitality and kind of are the quickest moving and the people are most dedicated to are the ones where there really isn't much money involved and people just like put it together and make it work. And that's kind of a kind of ongoing ethos of learning to live for it. Like, how can I downsize as much of my living, like my outgoings, as possible so that I can do things that create real value in my life? I don't think that lack of jobs or career paths is synonymous with lack of productivity. I don't think that I need to say that in this room. The program also has a particular focus on how do we work in an age where we've kind of gone through this nap to the moment, where a kind of business model was kind of flipped on its head overnight, and what does that mean in terms of the things that we're producing ourselves and the things we're trying to build? Is it possible to now have a 10-year project of your own and build that and know that there's not going to be a kind of disruptive innovation that overrides everything that 10 years of work into? So I don't have any answers for that, but I think it's quite useful to tell people at universities that that's kind of where we're potentially at. The reason why I have a particular focus in art school is because I think that art school produces a very particular skill set, which I don't know if there's many people who can have to do that in here, but the Bologna process does threaten to erase where value is created within art school. So to try and condense this idea, within art school, you're taught a way to create context. So the context within art school is that you have 20 people, maybe 20 to 100 people, that's your kids, that's your shared business. You have a studio space in which you structure your own practice and you make things. And then thirdly, we have a presentation space in which you place the object. Everybody stands around for 4 hours and they talk about, well, what does that object mean to the world? When you leave university, all of that stuff evaporates. But because of the particular focus on the contextual conditions of the object in that instance, you develop a whole set of improvisational and initiative-based skills that allow you, and you're not told this, but if you take it to other circumstances, it allows you to begin to understand and decode the rules that are present in other structures, and the other structures might be the media or something that is, it gives you a set of tools to understand the semiotic conditions of that. I'm going to fast forward a little bit just because I've got kind of more critical questions that were born out of this work rather than continuing to tell you about this specifically. So what does this all lead to? What I think is really important to understand is that there's a lot of people that are coming out of these kind of spaces and other, and not just art school, but who pick what we might term as an alternative group, and they are beginning to build their own context in their own spaces, and there's lots of people present here that do that, that aren't reliant on funding, and they're definitely not reliant on the approval of government or policy. So I'll just hit some questions, because it's a good thing. So my question is, how is it useful to formalize the kind of social infrastructure that's being created by this generation? And what will be lost in doing so? My second question is, if it's an older generation that's writing the narrative and coining the terms of lost generation and graduate with no future, why is there such a lack of intergenerational dialogue to address this issue? Yeah, I think I'll stop there.
Now